Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci, and we're going to be talking with director Giulio Maria Martino, director of Country of Hotels, screening at the Manchester Film Festival. Hi, Giulio. Welcome to Fred Film Radio.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me.
So just to start off, and for the benefit of our listeners who are not familiar with the film, would you be able to say a few words of introduction about Country of Hotels so that we can begin to dissect it a bit more?
Certainly. My name is Giulio Maria Martino, and I'm the director of an independent film which is playing at Manchester Film Festival on Friday, 12th of March, and it's called Country of Hotels, and it's a surreal, absurdist, somewhat horror-influenced film about a room, room 508, in a mysterious hotel where various people enter. Things happen to them, strange things, and some of them disappear, some of them come to a sticky end, some of them go mad, and it shows, you know, their experience in the hotel and that of the hotel staff and various other people connected with it. But that's sort of basic, short synopsis of the film.
Right. And one of the reasons why I asked you to sort of introduce it was also because it's not the type of film that can be easily summarized. So having you sort of introduce it means that I don't have to, you know, I haven't given away anything that you wanted me to give away. The film, I understand, is based on a screenplay by, I hope I pronounce his name right, David Hopshine.
Hauptschein, very close. Yeah, Hauptschein.
Right, How long have you guys known each other, and how did your collaboration begin?
Well, I saw a play of David's at the Edinburgh Festival, I think, when I was a student. And it would have been 1996, a play called Trance, which was sort of very tangentially influenced by the Charles Manson murders. And I was really quite powerfully affected by that play. I thought I was going out of my mind when I was watching it. I was very disturbed by it. And that's quite unusual for a play, because usually a play can be quite an intellectual experience. But this was something that affected me in the way, you know, something like Rosemary's Baby or Don't Look Now might have affected me. I was very disturbed by it. And I thought, who could have written this really sick, weird play? And several years later, I found I was still thinking about it, and I found David on the internet, and I got in touch with him, and we began to sort of talk, and then, you know, we collaborated on a few plays together. And then as time went on, we thought, wouldn't it be interesting to try and make a film? I'd always wanted to direct a film, and I had to take some persuading of David to actually, want to write a screenplay. But, you know, we came up with the idea of selling a film in a hotel, and out of that was born, you know, this screenplay, Country of Hotels, about a very sort of, you know, as I say, mysterious, disturbing location for a film. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that fascinates you about hotels?
I think it's the idea that you're sort of a stranger in a strange land, and that it's a very, I think it's evocative location for, you know, cinema, literature, music, art in general. There's a place where you're, you know, the protagonist, the main character, yourself, is always displaced. And you're suddenly in a room that the day before someone else was having their own story inside. You know, something very dramatic could have taken place in that hotel room the night before, the week before, the year before. You know, someone could have met a sticky end. You don't know. Someone could have had an argument. Someone could have had an affair. Someone could have gone crazy, had a breakdown. But there's nothing visible left, or maybe very small traces left of that other person. Maybe something left in a drawer. Something on the wall, as is the case of Country Hotels. There's a big stain on the wall, which becomes explained in the film. And these things, these echoes, are the only thing remains of this, you know, previous unusual encounter. And so it's a place that, you know, where I think in life we tend to be deadened by habit, deadened by experience, but then at a different location, a different surrounding, can make everything seem fresh and new again and bring sort of things long buried to the surface again. And it's those kind of things that interest me about hotels. Like the first time you went to school maybe, and you know, you walk down the corridor and the shadows were really tall and the corridor was really long and the sounds from the other room were echoing, and you sort of walk with great trepidation down that corridor. The next day you walk down that corridor, maybe it's not quite as vivid, the experience, and the day after that less vivid, and soon you're walking down that corridor and you don't even recognize, you don't even remember that you're walking down anymore. It's become habitual to you. The hotel is an environment that can bring back that sort of that unusual sort of state, that freshness again. It's those kind of things that interested me and the writer David. Yeah.
And cinematically speaking, given the fact that most of the film takes place in a hotel room, was that a challenge for you, or do you find that sort of restriction stimulating?
Well, it was a necessity, first of all, as we decided how are we going to make a film on a low budget, but that we can control every aspect of, because we wanted to make a film that was very, you know, controlled, but we could design as much of it as possible, you know, and not just sort of rely on, I don't know, whether on that particular day we could get the location right with the sound be okay. We wanted to try and control our environment as much as possible. So we tried to limit it to a few locations in the film, the hotel room, the corridor, the lobby, and a handful of other locations, all built on sets, you know, not found locations. But indeed, you know, it's a huge challenge, I think, to try and keep the film cinematic. And because we both came from a background that was theatrical, certainly in terms of what we've been doing, we were very sort of, you know, I worked a lot with a cinematographer, you know, for quite a long time and during the shoot extensively to keep the visual language of the film fresh and to keep it cinematic and not rely on two actors in a room talking in order to tell the story. You know, we wanted to tell the story visually throughout the film as much as possible and to, you know, base the language on the film on, you know, on a visual grammar. And that is, you know, a challenge, but a really exciting challenge when you're in a room, a single room for a long period of time. That, you know, there's very necessary then, I think, to make the film on built sets where we could remove walls, we could shoot from above, we could shoot through, you know, through holes in walls in order to give, you know, change the spatial distances in the film continually all the time so that the audience never felt like they knew where the walls of the room were. In terms of if we filmed in a real hotel room, they kind of get a sense that the camera was always sitting as close up to the wall as possible. In this case, you know, you've got a very much a more spatially uncertain space, which is very important, I think, for this kind of film. But it was a great challenge, but an exciting one, yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, is this your feature directorial debut?
Yeah, it's my everything debut. I've not really made a film before. But we decided that it was more interesting to try and make a feature film and to try and be as ambitious as possible and not to make a short. Simply, we wanted to make something that would exist, you know, after this and after us and would be, you know, picked up and watched by someone, you know, on a streaming channel or on DVD at some point. Just out of interest for what it was. That was the idea behind it. Yeah, so I'm fresh to this, but yeah.
And speaking of your theatre background, which you mentioned, did that help you approach, you know, this first cinematic endeavour?
It helps working with actors. I think it helps quite a lot, as long as you're willing to be flexible with the differences between cinema acting and theatre acting. And I think there are, you know, great differences, because you just don't really have time to rehearse, especially on a low budget film, or rehearse very little anyway, you know, an hour here, an hour there. But so it really helps having a facility with actors and also knowing actors that you can call in as well and say, would you like to play this part? And, you know, an understanding that, you know, a trust needs to be built between the actor and the director. These things that theatre helps a lot with. I think there are the huge differences that I was very conscious of going in beforehand, that I didn't want this to be, you know, a filmed play. And so I think there's a danger area in the comparison of theatre and film, which I think theatre, you know, too often rests too easy on, you know, staging literature, staging dialogue. And I really wanted to be in a situation where I was, you know, creating something that was cinematic and that had a visual language and a visual grammar. And that was really, really, really important to me. And so both good and bad in that respect, I'd say.
And so while we're in the topic of style, which I feel is very important to this film, I'm sure many people will see a bit of that David Lynch influence. I also thought of Samuel Beckett while I was watching it. And you did refer to, I guess, the surrealist and absurdist. Yeah. You mentioned those two terms, so they're obviously very important. But so we know that those types of influences are important, but are you aware of them while you're working on the project?
Yeah, I wouldn't sort of disagree with either of those influences. And, you know, to be mentioned, to have David Lynch mentioned, or indeed Samuel Beckett even more so mentioned, I think Samuel Beckett's a really interesting, you know, person to mention, because, you know, I'm very familiar with a lot of his, you know, drama, but also his fiction. And so, you know, and a great fan also of his TV plays, so which I'm very familiar with. Or at least quite familiar with, but a sort of very challenging things to sort of watch and very interesting. I think we're trying to make something that's a bit more easily entertaining than Samuel Beckett's sort of TV plays, I'd have to say. But I'm sort of conscious of them, but I was also working quite hard not to be too slavish to any influence. And actually, in many of the choices, let's say to do with music, or to do with where the story was going, I wanted to try and make a film that where the audience couldn't really map out where it might go as it was going along. I don't really like to watch films where within 5-10 minutes I can sort of say, oh, it's this type of film, it's kind of going to go in this direction. I like something that, you know, really sort of takes me on a very unusual journey. And so when I was trying to make the film, and when we were sort of, you know, coming up with the stories and designing the sort of overall skeleton of the film, and then when we were sort of you know, working on the shooting script and even through into the edit, I was always very conscious of not, let's say, sliding into something that really felt like David Lynch, for example, something where the audience could say, oh, this is like David Lynch, so I'm in for this kind of experience. You know, it would continually sort of wrong foot your audience by, you know, it's stylistic decisions and stuff. So I both yes and no. There's a lot of people I stole from in terms of shots and, you know, editing techniques, let's say. But I really sort of worked hard not to sort of rest too easy on any of those influences, and to sort of rely on them as tropes, you know, I thought was quite important. So yes, but I was also wary as my answer to that, I'd say.
So I'd like to go back to your work with the actors, because we did talk about the film taking place, a lot of it taking place in just one single hotel room. Yeah. How did the cast find that? And also, you know, occasionally their performances, you know, it prompted a type of over-stylized or exaggerated acting. And I always thought, that could be kind of fun for an actor to be involved in that type of setting.
I'd say working in the set was a very unusual experience, because we were working in a warehouse, which actually was a warehouse that was being used at the same time as a warehouse by about 10 or 15 other people. We had a platform in a giant warehouse, platform of about 200 square meters in a giant, you know, massive, massive platform. And what we would do is we'd sound a tannoy every time we shot, and the workers who were packing trainers and t-shirts in this warehouse would stop. This was a really unusual environment to be working in. And the actors were enclosed generally when they were working within the four walls of this room. And it created a very, very unusual sort of heady, very hot atmosphere with all these lights sort of pointing down on us. We're shooting in the middle of summer as well, with, you know, quite a lot of hot lights shining on us. And it did create a very unusual, rather rarefied atmosphere, an intense atmosphere. With regards to the stylized, in inverted commas, overacting, I know exactly what you mean, I think, and I agree with you. I think that it's something that is the script pushed it a little bit, and the way I tend to be myself and the way I tend to work with people, it tended to push it in that direction. And I also think some of the actors we chose, let's say an actor that comes in towards the end of the film, the guy that plays Vic Spencer, Charles Pike, that guy is just a genuine, he's a very good actor, but he's also a genuine eccentric, a genuine madman in many ways. And he, everything he does, when we sort of knew this would happen, kind of ends up in that territory anyway. And you get a kind of stylized acting on screen, you know, not seen since the James of, let's say, Jimmy Cagney or someone like that, or, you know, maybe some films of the Coen brothers, Barton Fink or Miller's Crossing, where you get these really sort of rich, juicy characterizations. And I think that's just a sympathy that I, the writer, and some of the actors have for that kind of acting. And I'm not sure it was ever spoken about once on set at all. I think it's something that kind of happened organically. And I've got a friend who's a film editor, not the brilliant editor we used to edit this film, but I was showing him early clips while he was shooting, and he said immediately, yeah, there's a very definite sort of acting style going on here, which you're going to have to make sure when you're editing the film that you find a way into introducing the audience to this, you find a way of leading them into this. And it's not something I'd really noticed until he pointed out. So I think it's something very organic and natural to me, which doesn't seem at all, you know, it's not naturalistic acting at all, but it's something that for this film just seemed appropriate and we enjoyed doing very much.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought it was definitely part of the atmosphere of the film. Everything felt really one whole, which mm-hmm. which I felt was a great asset to the film too, because we were talking about story earlier, but more than being totally reliant on this idea of linear narrative, it was the world that you created that was fascinating to be immersed into for a while, for the duration of the film.
Well, it's interesting. I'll just say one thing about that. It's interesting you say the word world, because that's something we talked about a lot, especially with the designer, the production designer, Mike McLaughlin, and the cinematographer, Stefano Slokovic, is we really were intent on building a world, a universe. And there was a lot of tangents in the film and improvisations which was sort of built out of the experience of being on that set and in that world. And so there were a lot of things that we did on the set. The writer was on hand as well for a lot of the time, where we just like tweak a bit of the scenery, or we tweak a bit of the dialogue, or we tweak a bit of the action to try and create more of a sense of a unified world in the film. So the small things in the film, like a gun, which is the same gun, which keeps popping up until that character I was just mentioning it, Vic Spencer, finds it in a makeup bag at the end of the film. And this is there are things in there that we kind of built in under the surface that were completely organic things that came out of the state of being in the room. And let's say the painting, which is a major feature of the film, wasn't in the script originally. It wasn't in the shooting script. It was something that we discovered on set. And then with the production designer who decided to change the seasons on the painting, we began bit by bit to come up with an idea that maybe we'd see, you know, members of the whole hotel staff in this mysterious painting, and that, you know, it would change and we'd go inside the painting. This was all something, all part of world building that just came out of the experience of being in that very evocative set, in that setting, and playing around with things. It was a really good fun period, which continued into the edit and even into the working on some of the small special effects that we did for the film.
Wow, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting way to work. And so we're running out of time, Giulio, but sure. There's so much I want to ask you, but I guess I'll end it with this somewhat inevitable question. It's impossible not to think of Country of Hotels as a sort of reflection of what is happening in most parts of the world today with the pandemic and the lockdowns. Now, I understand that the film was actually made before all this happened.
Yeah.
Is that right? But so have you thought about how Country of Hotels kind of reflects the times that we're living in?
Yeah, I have. And I think that it reflects it in a way that's really interesting, because for me, I'm not really interested in seeing a pandemic movie, you know, or a lockdown movie. I couldn't think of anything worse, if I'm honest, because I'm not relishing the experience. But I aware that this film, it, you know, at one level distant, you know, at a step away from it, speaks to the experience of being locked in a location, you know, being, you know, claustrophobic and stuck in this one place, and, you know, able to step out, but seemingly feeling like you're unable to step out. I showed the film in between the two lockdowns that we had in England in October for the first time in a cinema, and it was weirdly unbearable at certain moments. You know, we were all sort of out of it, hoping we wouldn't go back in. Sadly, we did. But to feel, you know, the film almost like a pressure cooker, where these characters were, you know, trapped, not just physically, but psychologically inside this, you know, very strange, oppressive, malignant location. And I think, you know, art, the art I like, art that speaks to me most, tends to speak at life at one remove anyway, just as you were talking about Samuel Beckett earlier. You know, he's a great user of unusual metaphors or stage metaphors, such as Happy Days or Winnie in the Mountain of Sand, or in Endgame, those two characters, the older characters who are Nag and Nell, who are in the dustbins. And I kind of like Country of Hotels for the way that it speaks to the pandemic at one remove, that this is it's a state of mind as much as it is a physical state.
Interesting.
So I welcome that comparison. Yeah, I like it a lot. Thank you.
Awesome, Giulio. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
It's been really good fun. Thank you so much. And if anyone wants to watch the film, it's on at the Manchester Film Festival on Friday at 6 p.m. 12th of March. Thank you very much.
And have you got any ideas where it may be accessible after the festival? What's the plan?
The plan is we're speaking to a few distributors, and we're just seeing maybe we'll do a few more festivals. We'll have to see about that. And also, we are speaking to the distributors. It'll certainly be available on streaming, and I'm hopeful there'll be some sort of physical media opportunity as well. And who knows, you know, if we can get it on the cinema in a few places here and there, that would be fantastic as well. But it will be available soon, probably, hopefully around Halloween kind of time, I think might be nice for it. So hopefully something like that will happen, yeah.
Thanks very much, Giulio. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.